Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Hey everyone, it's Eva here.
It's Kylie.
Welcome back to another Hello Universe.
Woop woop. Okay, wait. I'm so happy to be here. What you all don't know is that Eva just like coached me through a like major life update in which Kylie has her period on this new moon in Pisces vibe and just needed
Oh my God, you're right. It is so new moon in Pisces. No wonder.
Yeah. I try not to like overread astrology. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, hello, astrology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, I try not to let it be prescriptive, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, what you all missed is the off-recording epic coaching that I just received from my best pal, Eva. And now that I'm no longer quite as sad of sad potato, we're ready to record.
Yes. It is funny having friends that are coaches because we're like, are we having a conversation or is it coaching? It's like, really, there's no difference sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I specifically put it in the context of coaching because I feel like, I do feel like when you're a coach, there is just this, and your friends are coaches, there is this particular way of holding that's like, we got this.
Yeah,
like, we got big this. Guns yeah. coming out. We got
totally, totally. Which is great, by the way, when people are open to it. So I've had to like, I was in the very, very, very infancy of like becoming a coach. There was definitely a period of time where I was like, oh, I'm a coach now and I'm going to coach people. And all like even friends who just don't want to be fucking coaches.
Who aren't asking to be coached.
Exactly, who are just trying to tell me about their life. Like that can be the most obnoxious fucking thing in the whole world. But what I love about a lot of my coach friends is that like they're totally here for it because they know how great it is. And it's also like, yeah, it's free coaching.
Yeah. You know that phrase implied consent about like when you're in a long-term relationship, like there's implied consent that you can like go up and just like kiss your partner in a way that you couldn't like rent a person in a bar. I feel like there's like implied consent that like you can coach your coach.
Friend. Yes, 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 yes. So that being said, yeah, I mean, we were kind of having a big theme that we came around to towards the end of that conversation was once again about the art and gift of surrendering, which
and torture, like let's be real, we all
you mean like how torturous it can be when you're really attached to something.
Well, also like we all like, you know, surrender is like continues to be the medicine, and also it's fucking hard to surrender, right? Yeah. So it's yes, control is like the refusing to surrender is torture, and also surrender is terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
There's a reason that we resist it.
Well, I would say the higher the stakes something feels, like the more important something is to you, the more attached you are because you love it or because it you value it, then it feels harder. I'd also say it's also harder when you're like, I wouldn't say not in a good place, but like if you're really anxious or you're like nervous system, your whole body is tense. And because I think sometimes surrender is like can be super easy, but like, and that's actually, I think, helpful for me to know. It's like when I'm relaxed, I'm like, oh yeah, surrender, great. It's easy. Let's do this.
Yes. Yes. And it's a really good point that if it's a thing, if it's an area that I already have like a lot of trust around, like I think about it in terms of if I'm surrendering into like, we've talked about feelings, right? And like to feel your feelings is its own kind of surrender. And like, if it's grief, I'm like, oh yeah, I can surrender to grief all day, right? Like, is in like sadness is like a relatively comfortable emotion for me to experience versus like, you know, if it's shame, I'm like, oh, look at me resisting. Or like, I don't know, like, yeah, things that you're not as attached to, or I feel like if you have a lot of trust built up, you know, if like you and the universe have a lot of trust around a certain topic or area, that can also make it easier to surrender, even if it's a dear to you thing.
That's,
you
know, a really good point. Okay, so that's really helpful. I'm glad you said that because I think what it's making me realize, so I have certain areas in my life right now that I've been having a hard time surrendering to, or surrendering into, and I've realized, oh, it's because I don't trust the outcome. I don't trust yet that I'm going to be safe. I don't trust yet that the grand plan, essentially, that I've signed up for, that I'm on that path.
Yeah. So then we like grasp and control, right? Like that's, then it's like, okay, I'm wondering if we should maybe start speaking in like tangible terms.
Tangible things. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Basically, I think the basic framing is to make a binary of it. There's surrender and there's control. And when we aren't in surrender mode, we're not like actually kind of like soft and letting go, then we're kind of grasping and controlling. And I think both of us experience that the graspy controlling place is also the place of suffering.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll speak for me. One area that's showing up for me a lot now is, I think on the last Kylie and Eve episode, which I think was last week, I talked about this road trip, you know, leaving Portland, being in transition, getting to Austin. And I still haven't even really talked officially about what it is I'm doing in Austin. And maybe I'll save that for another episode because that could be a whole thing. But it's been a little bit over a week. And part of my experience here is living in an Airstream trailer. So I'm living on Eliza's. She was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago, but she's also a friend of Kylie's. She has a piece of property in Austin, which is honestly the perfect blend of what I've been looking for, which is like, I want to be in nature, but not so far into nature that I don't have my like creature comfort. So like, it's basically this beautiful nature-esque place in the city of Austin, which is like, I think just a very rare thing.
Yeah.
That you get to have both.
Yeah.
And she has this like creek right behind her house. It's like a homestead vibe. Like there's a real home, like it's not just kind of nature, it's nature. And like I don't feel like I'm in a city when I'm here.
Ugh.
Yeah. And so she has an Airstream trailer. I'm living in it. I fucking signed up for it because what I wanted at the time was like to be closer to nature and also to see if I could live a more simple life. Mm. And that really appealed to me. And now that I'm here, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many things that are just like driving me nuts. Oh my God. It's like, Kylie, I can't even tell you. Like I am, because here's the funny thing, folks, is that like, this is what I wanted. And also I'm a bougie bitch and I like comfort and I don't like bugs. And you know what I mean? And I'm a city girl. It's like, that's this part. So it's an experiment for me because I'm very much trying to figure out, wait, is this something that I really want? Or is this something that I've just idealized? And once I got here, I realized like, oh, you know what? I actually do want like, I don't know, working plumbing or something like that, you know?
Right.
So like, as we were recording, so we've been talking for a while now, Kylie, but like just about a couple minutes ago, I just got like a whiff of like poop smell every once in a while, there'll just be like the plumbing in this thing is just like not working well. And it's just like, okay, yeah, I can just like smell poop sometimes. And that's like not okay with me.
No, that's not okay.
Not okay. So it's like the whole Airstream situation, but it's also being in unknown territory, also starting this new partnership with Eliza. I saw myself this week go into full hypervigilance of being like, I'm going to get into productivity mode. And like, I have this whole list of stuff that I'm going to do to like, get ready, get comfortable, to get everything right. And it's a little maddening, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happens, is like the maddening feeling of like, okay, if I can just get it, it's like when this control part gets real loud, for me, it's always like, okay, if I can just get everything in order, then it'll be in order and then I can relax.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, I don't know, you never get to the place where you relax, right? There's just like, there's always more things to control. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or what I have found is, because I've moved so much in the past couple of years, what I've actually found is that actually I will relax over time either way. even if I don't get all these things done, because what happens is it's just, especially I think with moving or something, but it's just time. Like it is trust, like trusting, like if I just trusted and I wasn't like, I would still get some of the things done, but also what would happen is even if I didn't get them all done, 6 months from now, I would just be more comfortable just because it's been 6 months and I wouldn't have had to like effort so much. And that is like a big, going back to what you're talking about, trust is like, I've seen it happen. So that has been helpful where I've been like, oh, I know this is a pattern that like I get in this mode when every time I move to a new place, and things that bothered me, like bother me now, honestly, I can feel, say with confidence, like just are not going to bother me in 6 months because I don't, you know, because maybe I'm like settled in and I'm like, oh yeah, actually I am safe here.
Oh, that's really interesting. Cause then I feel like my brain is going like, wow. Cause you're kind of speaking to like the control phase is also just like part of the process to surrender. Right. Cause I can be a perfectionist around like, no, the goal is to surrender, like stop being a control freak. But I feel like what you're speaking to is like, I will eventually get myself to a softer surrender. Like control is just part of the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually. And I think it's helpful to see that because then I don't have to be like, something's wrong or I'm doing it wrong. And there's also
you're
like,
trying to control the fact that you're controlling.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is what happens. Cause what really it's like the second arrow, you're like, you're judging yourself for being so controlling. And then you like feel like shit because you feel like, oh, like I should be more chill or blah, blah, blah. But
oh my God, I feel so called out. I think I'm calling myself out, but I feel so called out right now.
Yeah, say more.
Just, so like the theme of my life lately, I feel like it just keeps being surrender, right? In all sorts of different, like it's not even, could you really know it's a theme when it's like coming at you from all these different angles, like business, motherhood, body, like, ADHD, food, house, like everywhere it's coming from is like, no bitch, surrender. And my experience has been like, well, actually a lot of confusion of like, that's a great idea. I don't understand how. Do you know that experience? Right? Yeah, there's like this sense of like, okay, I'm holding on. And the goal is just, if I let go, I will be happier or I will be less wound up or whatever. And I'm like, and I don't actually know how to open my hand.
Yeah.
I see what I'm doing. I see that it's just me holding on and I could let go.
Yeah.
And also,
I don't know how. Yeah. That's such a good point. I think I've also recently kind of been there too.
I've been like really annoyed at myself. Cause I'm like, just fucking open your hand, right? Just let go. And you will stop being in this loop of suffering. So it's like the resounding theme is surrender, and then there's this real confusion that's like, that's a great idea, I don't get how it works, and then a lot of then frustration and attempt to control the fact that I'm in control mode. You can all see why I was a sad potato.
I mean, that's a good point though. So what, I don't know if you have the answer because, you know, you maybe you're like in the middle of it right now, but like, what does one do when they actually don't know how to surrender?
I mean, it helps if Eva's one of your best friends.
It helps if you have other, 10, if you have other people.
10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, make Eva one of your best friends.
Yeah. Or you can just hire me as your coach. That's
also true. Yeah. That's also true. Yeah. So I think that's part of why I'm appreciating you pointing out that like sometimes control like that is its own phase, and like perhaps I've been softened, perhaps like, I don't know, the idea of intention and prayer, right? Of like, okay, I like, one of the things I've been saying is like, I want to be willing to surrender because I can feel that I can feel my own resistance to surrender again in all ways. Mm-hmm. And I have been kind of like practicing saying like, okay, I want to be willing to surrender. Like,
yeah.
I like at least like, let's like get on the track.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I also think, I think for me, the practice of feeling my feelings is always where surrender happens for me. Mm-hmm. And so part of how I've witnessed that part of the big way that I think I've known that something's out of kilter is that I've actually been having a really hard time feeling my feelings. I've been like really in that kind of like buffering, anxious, mm-hmm. buzzing space that I used to know really well. It doesn't show up for me that often. And so it's been consistent enough that I'm like, and I have felt like confused about how to feel my feelings, which is just like usually not a thing for me. That's like kind of my specialty, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think you made a really good point when I was talking to you about that of like, you know, you need space. And I think control for me is often about like crowding out space. Mm-hmm. It's like control doesn't leave room for space because mm-hmm. control is constantly buzzing and thinking mm-hmm. and doing and,
yep.
and then being upset that there's no space, but mm-hmm. it's also designed to not have any space. So mm-hmm. I think, again, I do think creating space helps because I think for me, it does come back to like feeling what's in my body and what's in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's where the relief keeps coming. Like when I can drop in to feel my feelings and when I can drop in to like experience my body, that's when I get a relief and I feel like, oh, okay, I think I just like opened my hand a millimeter to go back to the mm-hmm. hand grasping metaphor.
Yeah. One thing that I think, so to connect this all together, I feel like something else that offers space is the not judging oneself for being controlling. Like I think it's not our go-to instinct, but to be compassionate towards the mm-hmm. part that like, there's a reason that we are being controlling. And so that actually has been my experience here in Austin is like, oh yeah, I totally understand why I am like in this really controlling, like hyper-focused place. And there's a way in which I'm like, if I give myself space for that or permission in some way, it, you know, not surprisingly, it actually has less of a hold on me.
Oh, yeah. I really love that. And I also think another layer of compassion that showed up for me that's been helpful was basically realizing, oh, this is hard because it's hard. And also in particular, noticing like the reminder that racist capitalist patriarchy sucks, mm-hmm. right? That, like this is often like a flip thing for me. And it's like this intellectual thing of like, oh yeah, we have built something shitty, mm-hmm. but it landed for me recently, like in my body in a very like loving way that was like, I am trying to create something that doesn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to thrive as a like spiritual being who like wants to like lay on rocks and mm-hmm. commune with nature in the world of like in a world that doesn't that is not only not built to support that, but is actually built to separate you from that.
Yeah.
And so the fact that like, oh, do I feel exhausted by trying to alternatively school my kid because I don't think that the school system is set up to support him while also building a business that changes people's lives while also like investigating my own inner everything mm-hmm. all the time mm-hmm. while also communing with nature while also occasionally doing laundry mm-hmm. and paying bills, like, oh, is that a lot? Yeah, it's a fucking, does that feel like too much? Because it actually is too much. Mm-hmm. And that awareness that like it feels like too much because it is too much mm-hmm. has also really helped bring in compassion mm-hmm. which what I'm realizing now is compassion feels like an on-ramp to surrender. Because then the energy shifted for me of like, oh, I need to fix this. And like, it's my fault that it feels overwhelming to like, oh no, this is overwhelming.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you said that. And I think it's so beautifully put, this idea of like, even as you were talking about that, I felt a melting of sorts of like, almost a melting, but also like a sense of pride because it's the acknowledgement of like, actually, you know, we're trying to do something, not just me and you, but any person who is like trying to follow their heart and is vulnerable enough to be like, this is something that I desire, and that's why it matters so much. And I'm just, you know, and there's these systems in place. It's like, give yourself a fucking break. There's something beautiful in what you're trying to do. And like, yeah, no wonder you're tired. And like,
yeah,
it's not your fault. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. 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 It's not it. The fact that it's hard doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. And maybe it means that you're doing something right. Not that I'm saying like, you know, things need to be hard, but meaning like it, I think sometimes it can be a sign that like, it just means that you're pushing towards your dreams.
You're in it. Yeah. You're in it. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something I might have even said this on the podcast before, but I have this really great therapist, and he, when you know, I was recently like, I just feel like I'm always, you know, I was kind of like annoyed at myself, and I was just like, I just feel like I'm always in here being like, this is all a lot, and my kids are hard, and owning a business and trying to do it with my kids is hard, and blah blah blah. And he was like, yeah, hard things are hard. I mean, he said it more compassionately than that,
yeah.
But he was just like, yeah, hard things are hard.
Yes.
And yeah. Like, maybe you're asking a lot of yourself to do all of these things, and then also ask them to ask you to, like, basically, maybe it's not a fair thing to ask yourself to do all of these things and then also ask yourself to experience them as easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. But I love what you said about compassion being an on-ramp to surrendering. That definitely feels like a nice, like two puzzle pieces that fit nicely together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because surrender, if you're in really big control mode, which I think, you know, we experience as like anxiety or overthinking or like all the sort of like all of a sudden I feel like constant like busyness. Mm-hmm. If you're in that kind of graspy control mode, to go straight to surrender isn't like that I think it, I don't know, for me it brings up that like I forget how to surrender,
right?
But
and also I feel like you're like in, if you're in that like tight caught up mode, chances are there's a lot of judgment going on, meaning like you're in just this mind whirling mind space of like being hard on yourself, essentially. Like,
yeah,
something's wrong, and so you're like trying to fix it, and there's judgment, and it's not like, it's never positive. You're never like loving yourself so much, and you're like, I'm stoked on myself, when you're like in a moment of like control.
It's a good point.
Yeah. And so yeah. I think the judgment of the self and like how you are and how things are is also a blockage to surrender.
Yes. So yeah, compassion helps like remove that barrier. And I'm also just seeing it as like a transition step. You know, yeah. I have like a half-formed metaphor in my head. You get the idea. Transition. Yeah.
Can we talk about trust for a second?
Yeah.
So seeing as this is a spiritual podcast, this is definitely not the first conversation that we've had about trust. I feel like it comes up
like all the time. Your official voice there that you just used.
I think I selfishly want to come back to this, because I want to be reminded of trust and that I can trust, because what you said earlier was just like really spot on for me. And I think for anyone who is like, free, you know, if you're stressed out, or if you're in a state of fear, if you feel fear about something or lack about something and you're in control mode and you can't surrender, it's because we don't trust something. And I don't know, for me, where I am right now is, you know, I've blown up my life because I had a strong feeling that I wanted. There are three things that I'm really focused on right now, which is like community, communing with nature, and communing with God. And I was like, those are just like, it's very easy for me to pinpoint like, that's it for me. Like, those are the top three. And like, I don't know. There's something very clear to me about that. And I felt like I was kind of in a way guided here to this weird place that I never expected myself to be. And so I want to trust that, I guess. And I guess, I don't know if there's a question in there, but this idea of God, how do I keep trusting when I don't or it's like, how I do trust actually why I'm here, but I also feel fear at the same time.
Yeah, like the reason you can surrender is because you trust, right? Like that's the whole thing of like a trust fall. You're like, you know, you're like camp is that you like you can surrender, you can close your eyes and fall backwards because you trust that your like fellow campmates will hold you. And so I think that's what's like beautiful when we're able to surrender is that we do experience like the reward of, right? Like it's like we surrender and then we're taken care of and it's like, oh, okay. In some ways, the gift of surrender is the trust. Like trust is the required ingredient, but I feel like it's also the gift of it because then you can trust more because you had that experience of surrender.
Yeah.
But I think what I hear you speaking to is like, how do we hold ourselves when we need to, when the invitation is to surrender and trust, but we don't really trust all the
way. Yeah. Yes. But even as I, like, as you're saying that, and I asked the question, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm calling myself out a little bit because I'm like, oh yeah, but have I done anything actually to cultivate more trust in a higher power recently? Meaning, so like when I like surrender to something, I think it's because I am setting an intention with myself that says, like, there's something in my body and in my mind that goes, okay, I'm willing to let go. And I'm willing to, like, trust fall, I guess, even though I think trust falls can be kind of like, like totally annoying or whatever. But, like, yeah, okay, let's just go with this theme here. Like, I'm willing to trust fall, but there's an intention set forth where I'm intending to live my life that way. And really what I've just realized, like, I haven't been doing that at all. I mean, I have been.
You did move. Yeah, exactly. I do feel like driving across the country to move into an area. Like, you're not exactly like hiding.
That's true. I think what happened was like, I was in a moment of like listening and it got me and it helped me lay out the plan. And then I like follow the plan. But now that I've been here, I've just forgotten that like, oh, that's the thing that I need to continuously do again, because I was stuck in control. And when you're in control, like you forget that you have that option. You forget that you tap into a higher power. You forget that you hand it over to God, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been doing that at all because I've been so busy trying to tick off my to-do list.
Yeah. And I think what's hard is that when you're in control mode, truthfully, we are always a little bit in surrender and control all at the same time, right?
Yeah.
But like when the control is louder, I think like something I've noticed the past couple of weeks, like my biggest spiritual practice is feeling my feelings. Like I do regularly wake up early to like sit in silence, but I don't do a lot of ritual. I don't actually have a regular meditation practice. Like, I really think for me, my most sacred thing is like my willingness to feel my feelings. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest ways that I just experience this like kind of transcendence, right?
Wait, can I pause you for a second?
Yeah.
So like, do you still actively go into the Akash, like the Akashic Records, or is that now just interweaved into your life?
And that's such a good question.
Like you don't even need that anymore. You're just always constantly, you know, like getting the vibes.
Okay. This is such a big question because of course you're asking this now because anyway, it's been rumbling. I'm about to like relaunch single sessions and it's tied up in the answer to this question. So I'm laughing that you're asking this question now.
Yeah, of course.
But my feeling, and this has been how I have felt for a long time now, is that all energy work and magic is like a portal all to the same, to like to the infinite. So I almost see it as like like you walk into a foyer and like it might be like really big and fancy. Mm-hmm. It might even seem like it's a mansion. You're like, this is the Akashic foyer. And mm-hmm. then there's one that's like, and this is the Reiki foyer. And this mm-hmm. is, and all of them are actually just a portal into this like wild expanse of infinite magic mm-hmm. where there are no limits. There yeah. are no rules. Mm-hmm. There is no like required entry or required mm-hmm. prayer or whatever. Yeah. Although you can use ritual because ritual is fun. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're in the entry in that foyer and it feels like, and it can feel like, oh, this is it. Like, this is magic. This is the Akasha. These four walls are like the limits of this, you know, limitless magic. And also I think that's just like almost like a Hollywood town, like those like fake towns in movies. Like that's not actually the real deal, mm-hmm. even as you experience it, because it's you pop. The way I think of it a lot is like popping through to the other side, right? Mm-hmm. Like so, the Akash becomes your portal into, or Reiki or whatever your yeah. magic is, becomes the portal into, like, this like infinite well of magic.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, wait, let me, so instead of saying, so you're saying like, oh yeah, so you walk into this foyer or like into this whole town that you think is like it, but then all of a sudden all the walls fall down and you realize, oh, it's just part of the infinite.
Is that yes, what you mean? Kind of. And so, I mean, yes, that is what I mean. And that like, and it's not that the foyer is false. It's mm-hmm. just only it's
one of the many thousands of different ways in which one
right and
it,
that yeah, and that
experiences
this. and it's like, and really what we're all, what you know, and it's a portal to this like big well of infinite magic. And so you can use any of the portals, and also you yourself are a portal. And mm-hmm. so
right.
like we can, and for some of us I think ritual can be a really beautiful way to like walk us into the process of being in touch with this infinite magic. Mm-hmm. And the ritual might be a prayer of the Akashic records or Reiki symbols
meditation. Yeah.
Or a meditation or like your ancestor, you mm-hmm. know, prayers or whatever. But it's not, it's not a finite thing, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think there's a so for me now there's not a distinction from
right yeah because I think
magic
I think sometimes you also just get to a point where you just drop all of it and it's just not I was gonna say it's not necessary anymore, but I feel like there's, I don't mean that like in a pretentious way, I do think that that's true, meaning then you like, so you know, for instance, let's just say meditation is a way in at first, but maybe at one point you get to a point where you can, that's like a foyer or, and but then it's just like you don't, it can like drop off, it can just drop off and you don't need that anymore.
It can just drop off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just because you don't need it doesn't mean you don't use it, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that's important, because I think sometimes we can play a game where we're like, well, I don't technically need this, so I shouldn't use it anymore. And it's like, no, like tarot cards are great, like use them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, you know, I don't need more than one paring knife, but I have a bot, you know what I mean? Like, but I do journey. So I do have moments where I'm like sitting, to answer your question, like I will wake up in the morning and sometimes I just sit and I drink my tea and I just kind of open up what feels like magic in my heart. It's just like I kind of open up to a transcendent experience. It's hard to describe, but it feels like a certain kind of way of being alive. And I just drop into it and I just kind of sit still in that energy. And that's, and sometimes it's just that experience. And sometimes it's like a journey where my grandmother shows up or I ask a question. Or sometimes I buffer in and out. And like, you know, but I also don't, I do that sometimes in the morning. I do it sometimes at night. I do it sometimes not at all for weeks. Like I don't have any, you know, I do it sometimes while I am in the woods, you know, it's,
yeah,
loosey goosey.
Yeah. And also sometimes you'll just have your ancestors talking to you in the middle of the day when you're making like peanut butter.
Oh yeah. That happens. Yeah, like, that happens all the time.
Yeah. Yes. So that's I think, separately, I also
have like a bunch of chatterbox spirits. Right.
But I think that's kind of what I mean when I say like, that's the infinite. That's just always there.
Yes. Sometimes I like intentionally seek out transcendent experiences. Sometimes they seek me out. And also sometimes I'm just like chatting with my grandmother in the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we diverged a little bit.
This is we a were fun divergence.
Yeah. We were talking about trust, though. And I guess I was talking about being intentional in giving it to God, essentially.
Yeah.
But even that, I have, like, again, I can intellectualize it and be like, hey, that's how, but like, and I can understand intellectually that that's a good idea, but also sometimes that's also really hard to do.
Oh, and that's what I was speaking to when we went off on our little jaunt, is the times where I, like, because I've been like kind of extra wound up these past couple of weeks, the idea of, it's like, I forgot, again, I have this forgetting how. It was like, okay, there's something I do here. There's something I do that makes this better. And I would like wait, because like I did, because waking up early is one of my like, again, best tricks.
Wake up.
It's just because it's like a nice quiet, you know, I'm not making sandwiches for the, whatever. And I would like wake up and I would have my tea and I would do the same like things that I always do. And I would just be like, yeah, it's not working. I'm still in control mode. Yeah. Even though I wasn't using that language, I was just like in this like buffering, like stomach churn, like just like I didn't feel the way I wanted to feel. Yeah. Right. I was just in. And so I think that's what's, I don't know, I guess just like tricky about trust and surrender and all of this is, I don't know, we just have these moments of like, I forgot how to surrender. Mm-hmm. And I knew like something's missing. There's some missing ingredient. Mm-hmm. And I think it was in part, you're saying really beautifully, like you can offer it up to God or source or however you describe it. But sometimes I think that can feel really intellectual mm-hmm. and not embodied, especially when we're in control mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess I'm curious for you, and maybe that's okay, because maybe that's just the beginning of, like, that's the prayer, and so you set the intention. But I'm curious how you navigate when kind of offering it up feels just really intellectual.
Yeah.
Does that make sense as a question?
It does. Yeah. I mean, I think we're both asking each other the same question, and it's helpful because I actually, turns out I do have some answers that are becoming more alive for me as we're having this conversation. But I do like what you said about how, like, maybe you have a hard time, but you set the intention. And I do think that, like, once we set the intention somewhere down the line, it happens. I also think we were talking about this just on our, just like through messaging the other day, this idea of like, you're ready when you're ready. And sometimes it's like, I may not be ready yet, but I think sometimes it requires a humbling of some sort. Like something has to happen. And it, not all the time, but something needs to happen where I'm like humbled. Basically where I've shown like that, when I say humbled, I mean like I've shown that like I was being arrogant or stupid or just that I thought I knew and I was wrong. Do you know what I mean? And so, or the rock bottom thing, or like really struggling, those things can be a gift sometimes, because it's like your perspective just shifts and suddenly like your eyes are wide open and you see something clearly and you're like, oh wait, something shakes you awake essentially. And you're like, oh, I'm willing. Like it's easier for me to surrender now.
You know, I think too, rock bottom can be, I think, us like scary framing, but I think there's also another way to put it, which is like, you just have a moment where you realize, wait, this isn't working.
Mm-hmm, right. Yes.
You know, you just have this moment of like, this is unsustainable or unacceptable or like not something I can continue to exist in.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm willing for it to be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is different than, therefore, I need to fix it. Mm-hmm. Right. It's that, I think that's the difference. It's like, okay, this isn't working. I got to fix it. This isn't working. I got to fix it. This isn't working. I got to fix it. And then there's a moment of like, this is not working. And mm-hmm. also, I'm ready for it to be different. And those are actually two different, those are two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you experience it this way, but like, when you say that, this idea of like, okay, you realize, oh, this isn't working to me. There's also like, something humbling about that too.
Mm.
You feel that way? I feel like, I mean, there's also something not on the other end of the spectrum. It's like actually very self-loving to be like, to acknowledge like, oh, this isn't working. Like it's something like I am no longer available to try and like force this to happen. So therefore I'm open to another way. But I also think there's something like, yeah, humbling about when I see something that's like not working, because it, again, it's me seeing that I was just trying to control the situation.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I think I have like a really positive association with like the word humbling,
mm-hmm.
because when you're saying that, I'm really feeling how much compassion there is in being humbled for me, because what you're speaking, this experience of like, oh, I can't, this is not, this is, it's basically this moment of like, oh, this isn't working because it's not actually my job to fix. Mm-hmm. Like it's God's job or it's the universe's mm-hmm. job. And so the humility is like, feels like it's full of the compassion of like my laughing ancestors.
Oh, like, yeah. Humility is like my favorite feeling.
Yeah, right.
It's definitely a positive, often hilarious experience, but it's that, it's the vibe that I'm always going for when I realize that like I am teeny tiny and existence and God and nature and source are like huge, and I don't have to like, I don't know shit. And I mean that in a good way. And I don't have to control everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, what if this wasn't my job? To
it's like so
it
freeing. It's so liberating. It's so heart opening, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I had that experience, when I had my drug-free mushroom trip, which mm-hmm. if listeners have not listened to that episode, please go back, because
it's a two-parter. So definitely, check that out.
If it's new information to you, like a year and a half ago, I had like the most mystical experience I've ever had, where I had a like spontaneous, what essentially I later reflected on felt like a psilocybin trip without, because I was laughing at seals. That's really what prompted it. But one of the like phrases I kept hearing in the beginning of that trip was, it's never what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's come back to me a bunch of times, mm-hmm. of like me thinking I need to figure it out, or thinking that I am figuring it out, and just like barreling down on a pathway and like either hit a dead end or finally surrender, or like get like, you know, kicked into the left or the right. Like it's like the blessing comes in and the answer comes in or the solution comes in, and it's literally never what I actually thought I needed.
Yeah.
Which can be like, oh, you thought you wanted an orange and we're giving you an apple, but it can also be like, the way you were solving this problem was entirely upside down, mm-hmm. and what you thought was the nose was the foot. Like you just didn't get it. And mm-hmm. do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing when you're talking about the humility of like, oh, I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so, Yeah.
And that's like a wonderful thing to remember. And I'm glad we're having this conversation. This is why I wanted to have this conversation, because it's reminding me, I'm giddy with the reminder and the hilariousness of like, yeah, I don't know anything. It's cool. It's okay. Like I don't have to control everything. Like what if I could just relax and in that relaxation, I feel like my whole chest opens up, my like arms open up, and I'm like, okay, like I'm willing to see then, like show me, mm-hmm. I'm willing to kind of like play along and listen to the messages and the breadcrumbs and go in that direction. And like, but when previously, I don't think I could have even seen it because I was hyper focused on like making sure I got all the groceries for the week or something.
Yeah. I think the thing that I'm also just really reflecting on is how when we're in that hyper-fixated, it's like, okay, so say we're using the grocery example, like you get like super fixated on like the groceries and get us all the problems with the groceries. And I don't know, I guess I'm just, I feel like I'm on a broken record, but I just keep coming back to this idea of how confusing it can feel. Like I feel like I've been through this rodeo a million times. And also every time I forget how to surrender, I'm confused all over mm-hmm. again. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And how, I don't know. I wish I had something poignant to say, but I feel like I just keep going back to that because I think I'm really stuck with some awe and wonder at like how confusing it felt, but also what I was looking for was the release of actually just being able to feel instead of holding.
Mm. Yeah.
One other thing I want to reflect is lately I've been really trying to honor paradox. I mean, not lately, that's been a theme for a little while, but specifically the paradox of things being really great and hard at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like I wrote an email earlier in the like last week about villain era, and I was just talking about how much of my 20s was me just being a fucking anxious wreck. Mm-hmm. And how like really like how much I squeeze joy out of my life. Mm-hmm. And also what I wrote in that email was like, and also I was really happy. I did all sorts of amazing things and I had great friends and like, I had a good, like I was happy. Mm-hmm. And also I was in a lot of suffering and it is important to acknowledge like both coexisting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, that also feels like the theme of the past couple, maybe the past 2 weeks is like, there has been this rumbling, like, control and anxiety and discomfort that has been much louder than usual. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't actually consumed my existence. Mm-hmm. It has been unpleasant. And I have been like, I would like this to be different. Mm-hmm. And also it hasn't been the entirety. It hasn't like, it hasn't been the entirety of the lens that I have mm-hmm. seen things through. Mm-hmm. And that has also felt really beautiful because I think I used to, when things were hard, be like, well, this is it. Everything hyper, I would then hyper focus on the way things were hard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was part of the control, was like, this is hard and we have to just put all our energy into looking at how hard it is. And then maybe that's how we'll make it not hard. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
So there's been this way that the past, I would say probably the past 2 weeks have had this kind of like louder rumbling. And also I have been having a lot of fun and very, very, very joyful. And mm-hmm. like, for example, it's funny, I'm talking about control and anxiety. And this is the same time that I've been launching Villain Era. Mm-hmm. I have never been in more surrender of a launch in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Everything about the launch for Villain Era feels like simple mm-hmm. and fun and hilarious. And I am not like, can't even muster an iota of stress about mm-hmm. how many people will sign up for it. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's also worth recognizing that, I don't know, all these things are happening at the same time.
Yeah. And it's so good to get out of black and white mode, like all or nothing, yeah. you know, like that whole thing. When we really can see clearly, oh, two opposing things are existing at one time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
I think we talked about this last week on the podcast, maybe this idea of like me crying at, you know, basically I feel like a lot of my conversation when I first got to Austin was like, I feel like I'm doing everything right. I'm following my heart. I'm living like with integrity. I'm living my truth. And also, this is fucking hard. It's like those two things are happening at the same time. And also, I'm here and I'm like in this, like wanting, I don't know, just this hyper active, proactive state of wanting to get things all together. And also just having moments of like this week I've had moments of like, oh, I'm exactly where I need to be. And that has yeah. felt like, it's just so interesting that those two things can exist at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like being able to witness and hold that paradox feels like a big part of surrender.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
Right. 'Cause control wants to make things black and white. and right and wrong. But for me, that willingness to be like, oh, this is hard and joyful at the same time. That actually feels like compassion, the willingness to allow nuance and complexity and paradox feels like another way of on ramp onto surrender.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to add one more thing, and I think we probably should wrap it up. It's getting pretty late where you are.
Yeah.
Just that, this idea of like trust, and setting the intention to give it to God. I mean, I think you can actually be very like active and intentional about that. It's like when you see yourself in the day, sometimes it's hard to catch yourself actually when you're in control mode. That's the thing though. But if you are like lucky enough or aware enough to catch yourself, that's a moment where you can, and you can tell because there's a lot of tension in that moment probably. You can actually like be like, I think it's something that happens in your body. It's intellectual and it's in your mind though, where you're going to be like, I'm still going to show up, but I'm going to let go to how this ends up. But I think you asked me earlier, like, what's helpful. And again, this is a practice that I'm going to integrate back into my own life because I forgot is just to commune with God more often.
Yeah.
Like, sure, it can be in the morning when it's quiet and you've got your tea and whatever, or it can also just be like, in the middle of driving or when you're really fucking pissed off and all of those moments of like, yeah, I think there's just something about being in connection with source that's like, and like continuing to cultivate that relationship that makes it easier for me anyway to trust.
Yeah, I love that. And the other thing that came in for me as you were saying that is there are no rules, there's no conditions on surrender. And in particular, I think I sometimes expect, I make the condition on surrender that I stop being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that like, because control and fear are so linked, I then make the story of like, well, I have to stop being afraid so I can surrender. And maybe that's why I've been so confused, because I'm like, well, I don't really get how to stop being afraid because I'm fucking scared because there's so much going on and blah, 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 blah. And what I, as you were speaking, what also came in for me was the reminder that I can bring fear with me and surrender.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Like, okay, like hop in the backpack. We're surrendering. You're with us, fear.
Yeah.
And that
totally, but really it doesn't always have to feel like this, perfect, awe-inspiring moment.
Yeah.
Again, and having paradox.
Yeah. Like, okay, I am scared and I'm going to let go.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One more thing that I do want to add, because I think this might be a good end note for this idea of surrender, is that like, and this is something that I have access to right now, so I feel grateful for that. It's the belief and the remembering that like all of this is love, like God and source and reality and this whole fucking thing that none of us understand, that consciousness, whatever you want to call it, is a form of love that's so great that like we couldn't even comprehend with our minds. And I think when I remember that, I think I forget that sometimes, but it's like, oh, yeah, I really think that like, I'm not a fan of like Gabby Bernstein, but she has that book, The Universe Has Your Back. I really do think not just like has your back, but she's like a benevolent source of love. That's so much that like we couldn't even hold or contain it. It's like when we do actually feel it, it's so overwhelming. In those rare moments where you're just like, your whole heart is open and you're like, oh my God, like,
yeah, you're laughing at seals. And the next thing you know, you're on a 3-hour trip.
Exactly. It's that feeling of like that, what mushrooms does do. It's like, it opens up your heart so much and you're like, oh wow, the capacity that's available in life is just unlimited. I think that's, I think something that can help me trust.
I really, really, really love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. That's a good ending note.
Do you want to share your joy?
Yeah. Okay. So I am in Maine. My kids are on school break, so I came up to Maine to visit my family. And my parents have two dogs. And my kids and the dogs. Oh my god. I just cannot.
Overload.
Oh my god. I mean, also shout out to the grandparents. My parents were so great with the kids. And the kids and the dogs. I don't know who loves each other more. Like, the dogs loves the kid, the kids. It's just like this like total love fest. And they all have their own little dynamic. Like, my son loves to go outside with them, and he'll just be outside for like hours playing with the dogs. And my daughter, the first night we were coloring, and like Millie, one of my parents' dog, like came and just like flopped in between and like laid down on the coloring book. And Birdie was like, Millie. Oh, this afternoon, I came downstairs and she was like, Brittany was like literally like jumping up and down and was like, oh, this is what happened. Brittany fell and she was very sad and was crying, and the dog was just like beside himself, like trying to like get at her. And like, he like literally couldn't calm down until he kissed her. And then she was like in hysterics. And then my son is just like, it's just really sweet. He just is like, loves to like, just like, he's like goes into total caretaker mode and it's like, oh, do they have to go to the bathroom? Do they need to play? Like, it's just
animals and like kids, man.
Follow them around. And, you know, as I've mentioned on the show, Desi has a lot of, you know, hyperactivity. And there's just this really cool way that like he and the dogs just commune, and like there's a way that it mellows him like nothing else. That's really cool to see. Like, we do have to sometimes be like, okay, you know, like take it down a notch so that the dog doesn't like, you know, they're pups, one of the puppy, I was like, you know. But watching him, I don't know, he's just like a real nature kid, and so watching him walk in with them is just, I don't know. So I mean, dogs and kids.
Yeah, dogs and kids. And that makes a lot of sense. I think that's actually really cool, because I think it really speaks to the healing power of animals.
Yeah.
On people in general.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Animals. How about you, my friend? What's bringing you joy?
Actually two things. I think one which I alluded to earlier, which is like I would like to spend some time at some point just talking more about how my experience here unfolds and like this weird situation that I'm in, or say unconventional situation maybe. But it started off rocky, and I think I called Kylie 2 weeks ago, like basically having a meltdown, and you so wisely were like, yeah, this is it. Like, this experience that you're having is part of the whole like healing redemption process. Like, it's gonna be fucking messy. Like, it's part of the eat, pray, love, you know.
I think the exact moment you're like, I'm supposed to be having my eat, pray, love moment. I was like, yeah, I think that's what this is.
Yeah. It started off rocky, and I was actually like freaking out. I was like, I don't know if I should be here. Did I make a total fucking mistake? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I was talking to Kylie about like, you know, anyway, yeah. Like, if this doesn't work out, what's going to be my plan B? And I was already thinking about all that stuff. And since then, as like, I've worked out some things, I'm like, oh wait, I this is what I signed up for, like, and it's giving me what I wanted, and I'm getting to experience the things that I want to experience, which is like one of them just being fucking outside, like so much more. I just can't believe how important that is, or how like that is just worth everything to me, just like being able to be outside more often. I know that sounds I don't know. Anyway, also it was like 80 degrees today, and I was in like shorts and a tank top, and that was fucking awesome.
Oh, I love that.
Which, you know, I'm a big thing about weather. But I will say the second thing that just came to mind, as I'm working with Eliza, I think in my relationship with Adam, there are some things that I liked about myself that were actually perceived as a problem with Adam. And I'm realizing with Eliza, and what I'm really talking about is like, I think I have this very proactive nature where I like want to like, yeah, I'm just proactive about things. And I'm like, who wouldn't love that about me? Like, that's awesome. I love this thing about me. I'm very helpful. I'm very supportive. Like, I can get shit done. But I think oftentimes with Adam, that would feel like And I don't mean to say that this was a wrong thing. There is no right or wrong, but I think, right. And understandably, like that for the wrong personality, that can feel overwhelming. And I get that. And so, but here in this setting, I think I don't know, it's something about work. I just love working with women too. I think there's something about that, but my proactiveness is appreciated. And I'm coming into this being like, wait, am I like being too proactive? Like, am I in your way? And I'm doing this whole, like, I'm self-conscious thing. And Eliza's just like, are you kidding me? Like, this is fucking amazing. And I see you, and this is a beautiful thing. And let's like celebrate it, which is like, so, I'm like, that's huge for me. Like anytime, it's huge when something that you like about yourself is appreciated, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially when previously maybe it was something that you felt like you had to tone down. Yeah. It just shows you like when you're in the right situation and the right partnership, who you are works.
Thrives.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. I really, 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 really love that. And I also love, like, entrepreneurship can be this weird, lonely journey, even as it's also, like, very, you know, rich and rewarding. Entrepreneurship, working for yourself. And I'm also just jazzed for you that, like, you're this proactive aspect of you is also, like, part of a partnership rather than, like, that feels all. Also really lovely rather than just like you being able to like get shit done is also like actually part of this like fun collaborative creation.
That's true. That is true. That's really a big cool. part of it. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us as usual.
Let us know about surrender in your life.
I know, I feel like I want to know, there are probably things out there that folks are, that you listeners are doing that are Kylie and I could probably benefit from.
And any of your hot tips, big esoteric topics like surrender, like we love these kind of juicy, you know, big topics. So if there's anything also that you're like would like us to dive in on, you know, for a suggested kind of question or topic, we love that.
Yeah, email us or Instagram us. We're available. And share, like, I know people say that all the time, but it really does help when you share it, when you like it, when you write a review. It's big for little podcasts like ours.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We love you.
Bye.